Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
When Jesus walked the earth, he communicated in a number of different ways. If you read the Gospels, he preached to people, preached to great crowds indeed. He chatted with people one-on-one, he spoke in stories, he drew pictures in the dirt, and he used questions. The Bible tells of many moments where he's questioning people, asking them about themselves and about what they believe and think. At times, Jesus posed those questions that were really quite unnerving and confronting to people. Other times, he seemed to be just asking questions because he was curious. He genuinely wanted to know what was on somebody's mind. Wynne Collier is the author of a book called Holy Curiosity, Encountering Jesus' Provocative Questions. We're going to be chatting with him over the next few weeks to talk about a different question that Jesus asked somebody in the Gospels, what it meant to them and what it could mean for us, and what it reveals about the nature of Jesus Christ and indeed maybe even the nature of God. Wynne, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for having me.
This is a really interesting concept of just exploring Jesus' questions. What first got you thinking about the power of questions in general?
Well, I think part of it is just my whole life I've been a questioner. My parents even tell me that I often got in trouble in grade school for asking too many questions. And I went through a season in my life, actually after I was a pastor, where I began to have a crisis of faith and began to ask whether or not I even believed in this whole God thing. And so it led to all kinds of questions. But then I'm also married to a counselor. My wife is a counselor. Right. She asks beautiful, probing questions. And I really had a new world open up to me in being married with her. And so when I just ran across this constant theme in the Gospels where Jesus was often asking questions, I was really drawn to it. I wanted to think about it more. And I was actually drawn by the fact that there were moments where in my worldview, I think maybe an answer would have been more appropriate, but instead Jesus asked a question. I was just really intrigued by that.
Mm. You were talking about a moment where you were really going through a bit of a crisis of faith. Tell me about that and the questions that were on your mind at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of a general overall sense of, God wasn't coming through. I saw a lot of evil in the world, a lot of suffering. I had some issues happening in my own story, real personal issues that made me question whether or not God was active in any way. And most of my life, I grew up in a Christian environment, and I just went through that moment where I began to wonder, have I just bought into this thing because, I kind of been breastfed on it? I just bought into this because it's the world I grew up in. It isn't really mine. And so that's kind of where I began.
Yeah.
Because actually the first book I wrote was dealing with more of what came out of that crisis of faith. And then this book, I wouldn't at all call it a sequel, but the first book was me being really honest about my questions for God and owning up to those and not being afraid to pose them to God. And then a couple years later, it was almost like a 180-degree turn. During the first series, I was really understanding that God was okay with my questions and he wasn't scared off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, I began to see that not only is he not scared by them, he actually has some questions of his own to ask me.
Yes.
That I'm not the only questioner. He is also questioning me.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a conversation in a way.
Yes, yeah. Well, let's talk about Jesus as a questioner then, because, yeah, he was a master communicator. There have been books written on the communication style of Jesus Christ. But these questions, let's talk about the motivation behind them. What was motivating a good deal of the questions that Jesus asked when you read them through in the Gospels again?
For me, it really begins with relationship, and I think that's the power of questions. And I try to be really careful, at least in the way I treat this topic. I feel like in the past, a lot of times when I've heard people interacting with Jesus with questions, they were treating them as just a technique, as a rhetorical device for Jesus to get somewhere with someone. And that really, I think, does injustice to the relational nature of how Jesus interacts with people.
Hmm.
He wants to befriend. He wants to be alongside of. Confront, yes, when necessary. But, as Christians, we believe that Jesus was truly human. In fact, he was the ultimate human. And so I really feel like this came from relationship, and there is nothing that opens up the door of conversation and knowing another person's story like being curious.
Wynne Collier is the author of Holy Curiosity, Encountering Jesus' Provocative Questions. He's with us now. We're talking about the questions that Jesus asked people in the Gospels. And indeed, of course, we listen over their shoulder, and those questions are actually asked of us as well. So when these questions that Jesus asks these people, they're not just simply rhetorical devices to get them to think through things. He actually wants to find out something. That leads us to this whole idea of theology, big word, but basically the whole idea that Christians have believed over the centuries that Jesus actually was God incarnate, God in human bodily form, leads naturally to the question, why did God need to ask questions to find out information?
Yeah, that's a great question. But I think it's because he was also fully human, and that's part of the paradox and the mystery of this Christian theology, is that God was, in Jesus, was both fully divine and also fully human. And I think if we start leaning too much to one side, not the other, then we do injustice to who Jesus was. And I really believe that Jesus didn't have perfection in knowledge, in the sense of, like, he didn't know everything every person was thinking. There were certain things, the Bible tells us, that Jesus chose to lay aside while he was on earth, certain prerogatives or rights as God, for him to be able to interact with us as truly human. And so I do think there were times where in his humanity, Jesus could encounter someone just like I can encounter someone, open to their story, curious about who they are. Obviously, I would say far wiser than I will ever be, but truly human.
Mm. Have you read Anne Rice's Christ the Lord, a fictional series of Jesus' life?
I wish that I had. I have not gotten to that yet.
Yeah. Look, it's just fantastic. We've had her on the show before. The way that she portrays, now it's a fictional account, it's not biblical, but she's, you know, just kind of thought through the creative possibility of what would have been like Jesus being God in human form and yet growing up as a baby, then into a boy, into a man, with this whole idea of knowledge. And she presents it so lovely, you know, such a lovely way. She talks about Jesus being a child and then just having moments where he kind of glimpses that he actually could just stretch that a little bit further in his mind and grasp the answer here. It's just an amazing portrayal of the mystery that is God in human bodily form, learning and growing like the rest of us because he's fully human and yet still being fully divine as well. An amazing paradox.
It is. It really is. Yeah. But to me, it's the one thing that allows us to truly have, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus as our brother, among many other things. I think he can be our brother because he felt everything that we felt. He experienced all that we experienced. He needed no answers like we do.
You think of Jesus' questions to people, and I think many people who know the Bible, or even people who just maybe heard about it in Sunday school or have come across some of the popular stories of Jesus, would often think about that moment when Peter was, his disciple Peter was on the beach. Jesus had called him to have a little chat because Peter had denied him three times. And then Jesus asks him the question, "Do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" He does it three times. What do you think was going on there?
I think that's one of the most beautiful stories in the New Testament, because Jesus meets Peter at probably one of his darkest moments, the very one who had betrayed him. He must have felt an overwhelming amount of shame. And yet Jesus, I love what he didn't ask Peter. He didn't ask him, why did you do this? You know, how could you? What were you thinking? Can I ever forgive you? He just pushed right past all of that, which was really hubris, and he asked Peter a question of the heart. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked Peter the question three times, which is the same amount of times that Peter denied Jesus, as Jesus told him he would. And it was almost like every moment of Peter's abandonment of Jesus, Jesus was coming back to him with an offering of love. This question, "Do you love me?" I mean, it cuts to the core. It cuts past shame. It cuts past bad behavior. And it says, beyond all of that, is there something deep inside of you that is welling up in response to me? Do you want friendship? And it was an offering. I think it was an invitation for friendship.
And again, I guess that kind of puts into context where we're going to go over the next few weeks, in the sense that these questions, he actually asked some of his enemies, his opponents, some pretty cutting questions. But, you know, Jesus' questioning of us is not interrogation. It's motivated motivated by love, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's our hope.
It's interesting. In Christian circles, we can often be pretty quick to try and give pat answers to people when we're confronted with, you know, people's doubts or fears or problems or something like that. So what do you think we can learn about Jesus' approach to people and particularly his use of questions?
Honestly, I think it's revolutionary. I grew up in a faith tradition that was very uncomfortable with doubt, was very uncomfortable with people being honest about their questions. And the truth of the matter is that posture does not diminish questions at all. It just makes them go underground. It causes us to hide from one another and ultimately from God. Mm. And for me, the point I came to was what I had to believe that if God is real, he's big enough to handle my questions. Mm-hmm. And so I think the church is going to absolutely have to be a place that's comfortable with people doubting, being unsure. And I think this is a pivotal point, even being there for a very long time. I think for some of us, it may be easier to be okay with people's doubts as long as they get over it really quick. Mm. But that's not honest relationship. So yeah, I think we're going to have to absolutely follow Jesus' example here.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the big questions that Jesus asks. We're going to be talking about five or so over the next few weeks. Think of that moment in the 8th chapter of Matthew where Jesus is calming his disciples during the storm and he says, "Why are you afraid?" We'll talk about that next week. My God, why have you abandoned me?" When, of course, Jesus was hanging on that cross. Pivotal and indeed a penetrating question for all of us to listen to. Are you being willfully stupid? I like that one. The 7th chapter of Mark out of Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase of the Bible where the disciples just don't get what Jesus is on about. What do you want? From Mark 10 when blind Bartimaeus is asked by Jesus what he actually wants. Seems obvious, but it was something deeper that Jesus was asking. And why do you doubt? We're talking to Peter on the water there. Okay, Wynn, I'm looking forward to the next few weeks as we explore the questions of Jesus with you. Talk to you in a week's time.
Sounds great.
Wynn Collier there, author of Holy Curiosity, Encountering Jesus' Provocative Questions.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.